I'm LaVon.
I'm Miss Nene.
Welcome to Family Fun in the Kitchen. Family Fun today is going to, we're going to be talking about something that a favorite of a lot of people.
I know, and they're so easy to bake. Cookies. And we don't even have Cookie Monster around.
I was going to say, we could all turn into Cookie Monsters when yes. we talk about cookies, because they're just so easy. And, you know, for some people, it brings back a lot of memories. Did your mom have cookies for you when you got home from school?
Sometimes. For us, it was more bread.
Okay.
She'd bake bread.
Yummy too.
It was wonderful. Mom had her maybe two favorite kinds of cookies that she baked. But otherwise, she focused more on breads and pies.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's what Dad liked.
Yeah. Well, and fathers rule the mm-hmm. roost when it comes to what food is on the mm-hmm. table.
But I do remember cookies as being the first item that I baked. I said to Mom, what kind of cookie can I bake? Because my older sister was baking chocolate chip cookies. And for me, that was, at that time in my life, at probably about age 7, that was the only kind of cookie that I really knew. And she said, well, just look through the cookbooks. And she had two cookbooks. She had the Better Homes and Gardens, red and white checkered one. And then she had a black loose leaf hard notebook. And it was full of recipes of Edith Hansen. And Edith Hansen was a radio homemaker way back in the 50s. And I believe she was out of Nebraska. But anyway, Edith Hansen came on. And I remember she came on 11 o'clock every day. And that was almost Mom's link to the outside world, mm-hmm. even though we weren't isolated by any means. But it was a new resource for her.
And it stretched a little farther than her mm-hmm. neighbors and maybe got new ideas that yes. she could share with her neighbors, because I know she belonged to a homemakers club.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I looked through that cookbook, and there was a recipe for lace cookies. Well, I must be kind of Victorian at heart, because I love curves and in architecture and decorating and food, anything. I love the shape of a curve. And I could just envision this lace cookie full of curves and looking like a doily. I tried the recipe. I would not suggest that recipe for a beginning baker, because what happened, the cookie spread so much on the cookie sheet, and I didn't have the cookie sheet prepared properly for this sticky, molassesy lace cookies, that it was one big blob on the cookie sheet. Very hard to get off of the cookie sheet, but it was certainly memorable.
I was going to say, and I'll bet you ate them anyhow.
I can't tell you what I went on to bake from that point on, but I do remember that lace cookies were my first. But the origin of cookies, LaVon, oh my goodness, this was years ago, the 7th century. Can you imagine that? And it was in Persia. And of course, then they were the mega center of the world back then. And eventually everything spread out and got over into Europe, and the Europeans started baking cookies, but they called them biscuits.
Yes, and many people, I think, in England still mm-hmm. call them biscuits.
They do. And biscuits are oftentimes known now as a crispier cookie versus a softer cookie is known as a cookie. We call every kind of cookie a cookie.
A cookie, yeah. Yes.
But that tends to be the traditional breakdown of how you can determine the difference between a biscuit and a cookie, is the softness or the crispiness of the cookie. So now that I know that, I am a biscuit person.
Yeah, you like those crispy ones.
I do, very much so.
I think I'm a cookie person.
Okay, and a lot of people are.
Yes.
And we've had that, our family has had that dialogue back and forth of what kind of cookies should I be baking. I bake what I like, but then I throw in a couple different kinds that they would like to in the softer end of it. And so it balances out. Mm. It does balance out. But cookies then came to America because of the Dutch.
Sure.
This was in the late 1620s, when the Dutch came from New Amsterdam, and they brought their cookies with them. And then in 1703, at a funeral, 800 cookies were served. So that was a lot of baking, LaVon.
I mean, you of all people know 800 cookies.
That's
even
a lot of
for the professional, that takes a lot of baking.
Yes, but I have recently seen online that a cookie buffet at weddings is starting to be the thing. And pictures of how they're displayed are just fantastic. It's almost like these cookies have been all put into a gunny sack and just dumped on the table and put in a pile. And then there's the next pile right next to them and the next pile, next flavor next to them. It's really kind of unique how they're displaying them.
I think they're taking the place of cupcakes, maybe.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me. Cupcakes have been around for a long time, and you know, food trends change.
Yes.
So that could very well
be the candy table. That was the other thing. Now, I haven't been to a wedding for a while, but the first one of those I saw, I was kind of blown away. As people came in, here's this table with
all
jar
homemade.
After no, no, oh. not homemade, all purchased. Jar and basket and went full of candy. So
wow, talk about sweet.
Yeah, it was a sweet start to that wedding, yes. Oh. But so maybe cookies will replace that kind of thing.
Well, that's true. Well, how we came to have even this topic of conversation today was Fred, my husband, gives me ideas just as we're traveling along, and he happens to enjoy Lorna Doone cookies. He's a big snacker, and so I don't make cookies fast enough for him. We have to purchase them. So his favorite is a Lorna Doone. He said, gosh, why don't you and Levon do a program on how Lorna Doone came about, how it got its name. I did then go to the internet, which is a wonderful source
of
information.
Where would we be without that?
Exactly. And on Wikipedia, it said that Lorna Doone is a golden square-shaped shortbread cookie produced by Nabisco. And they introduced the cookie in 1912. And I thought it was interesting to research further that Nabisco, who makes Oreo cookies, also introduced that cookie in 1912. So 1912, which is the birth year of my dad, was a very fun year, yeah, for cookies.
I'm thinking, now I don't know, it probably doesn't say there, but I'm thinking Nabisco found out, well, this is a success with their first cookie, and so they're going, okay, now we do need to do more flavors. Mm-hmm. And obviously, it's still a big success.
Oh, and I'll just briefly touch on Lorna Doone. There was really no indication of how it got its name, other than the possibility is that the main character in the novel, Lorna Doone, could be recorded and named after that one. But there was still a lot of questions about that.
Yes.
But Oreo, that has a different start to it with the introduction of its name and the creation of its name. It was first came out as an Oreo biscuit. Okay, there's that crunchy cookie again. And then 9 years later, it was changed to the Oreo sandwich.
I was going to ask if it came out sandwiches. Nope, it came out as the crispy cookie first.
So where did biscuit. So where did the name Oreo come from? Well, the folks at Nabisco aren't quite sure, but they said that they think the cookie's name was taken from the French word for gold or ore, like gold ore, the main color, which is the main color on Oreo packages. And I don't buy enough Oreos to really realize that. Others,
I'm thinking, because I'm thinking Oreo cookie packages are brown.
That's what I think, too. Maybe when they were first introduced,
they were
more golden. Others have said that the name could stem from a hill shape in Greece, as a mountain in Greece is known as an Oreo. There are others who say the name is a combination of taking the letters R-E from the word cream, and putting those two letters in between the two letters of O in chocolate. That's very scientific.
Well, and now when you're putting it in between, that might make sense when it put
with
the cream
sandwich.
In between. But
sure.
Since they didn't start that way, you know, that probably wasn't the beginning, but it makes a lot of sense
it
now.
It does. It does. And then others say the cookie was named Oreo because it was short and easy to pronounce.
So, okay. Marketing.
Yes,
you
that's
know about
right.
marketing.
But no matter how it got its name, over 362 billion Oreo cookies have been sold since it was first introduced in 1912, and it is then the most popular, the best-selling cookie of the 20th century. I'm sure you've had Oreos, and I've had Oreos,
yes.
And our listeners have had Oreos, and think of the changes that have happened with the filling of the Oreo cookie from its origination.
And the thin ones, and like you say, and now
or the double stuff.
Double stuff, yeah. Whatever you want with Oreo, it's probably there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they have the cutest commercials with the kids taking them apart and various things. So they do a good job of marketing.
Well, it'd be interesting to take a survey. How do you eat your Oreo?
Yes.
Do you eat it all just in one bite? Do you keep the sandwich together? Or do you take those layers apart and lick that cream out first and then finish with the chocolate cookies? Maybe.
And do you dip them in milk or eat them plain?
Yes. We'd like our listeners to comment on that because it would be really fun.
It would be fun to hear about how they eat Oreo cookies. Yeah, do that.
Well, another popular cookie, of course, is the Toll House chocolate chip cookie. And that was developed because of a mistake. Ruth Wakefield was in her home and she was wanting to bake cookies, and she discovered that she was out of chocolate. So she broke up pieces of semi-sweet chocolate, expecting it to melt and absorb in the dough to make chocolate cookies, and it didn't. And so that's the game.
Chocolate chip cookies. That has to be right up there with Oreo, I think.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Most definitely.
Most home-baked cookies, I think, the top of the list is chocolate chip.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right. Yeah. Well, we will put a cookie recipe on the website for you. It's called a caramel almond square, and it's from one of my favorite cookie books. It's called The Good Cookie by Tish Boyle. It's lots of good cookies in that book, but see what you think about that recipe, because it starts with a shortbread base, then has this wonderful caramely almond mixture. You can go to our website at kjan.com, click on programs, click on Family Fun in the Kitchen with LaVon and Miss Nini, where you will find the recipe for caramel almond squares that are sitting and baked on a sweet pastry crust. Remember now, make some fun family memories in the kitchen.